You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 40. And we've got another guest today. We're going to shortly be introducing Eve, who I've actually just spoken to. We've just recorded her segment, and here I am doing the topping and tailing of the podcast. But I just firstly briefly wanted to say, if you have you listened to last week's episode 39, where Kate was our guest? Lovely dream. If you didn't listen to it, please go back and have a listen. And Kate emailed me a couple of days later and said she's already started the dream alchemy practice, which was quite an interesting one. And she can already feel the shifts beginning to happen. So she's going to update us a little bit later, over the next few weeks. But that is really the power of dream alchemy. After you've had a dream interpreted, if you then get down and do the dream alchemy, it can be amazing how quickly you begin to feel changes in your life. It's subtle to begin with, but you definitely notice it. It's really quite an amazing thing to experience. And I'm sure that will be Eve's experience pretty soon too. So here we are. Welcome to the show, Eve.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. You've got a dream. What have you got there for us today?
Okay, I have my dream from last night.
Oh, excellent. I love recent fresh ones.
Yeah, I've been jotting them down all week in preparation, so I felt like the most recent one would be the best.
Excellent.
Okay, so just first a quick background. I used to work at a clothing store website, basically a clothing e-commerce site. So this works into the dream.
Okay.
Okay. So in my dream, my old coworker from this job was my new roommate. We shared a large, hip-looking, industrial-looking artist's loft. So we were inside the loft getting situated, and he told me how increasingly annoying our manager was, that she was mean, selfish, incompetent, and which I quite enjoyed because I had left that job on not the best terms. But in real life, we didn't bring work home, but in the dream, he had brought home a rack of clothes and accessories to photograph for the site. I have boycotted the store because, you know, at the negative terms. So I was glad that he was able to bring clothes home so that I could sort of shop without actually going to the store. But it was all men's items. And I had a good laugh about that because it was like, oh, finally I have the chance to shop, but there's nothing for me to buy. So it was just kind of like a wah, wah, wah. Like, it wasn't a big deal, but I was a little disappointed, but it was just kind of funny. Then two girlfriends of mine showed up to our loft to hang out and see my new dwelling. And they saw a flyer posted in the hallway of the apartment building promoting a dance club or a party or something. And my friends were really excited because there was a DJ playing that they really liked. And I think his name was DJ Tempo or Tiempo. Mm-hmm. And at one point, I think his name was DJ Olive, which is kind of weird. But
Olive.
Well, one friend really was a super fan and decided to keep the flyer as a keepsake, as though it was valuable. So I just kind of ignored that. And I showed the girls the rack of clothes and joked again about the irony of having this rack of clothes, but it was useless because all men's stuff. So suddenly I was in the guest bedroom of my parents' house where a Nintendo was set up. And I'm talking about the Nintendo from the late 80s, like 1990. Mm-hmm. Because I had to be somewhere else, and I don't know where, but I had to be somewhere, but I set them up to play that while I was away. And now I'm back in my apartment building, and I run into DJ Tempo, or whatever his name is, and he was dressed very cool. He was in all white jeans and a white t-shirt with some sort of black graphic, and I say, "Hi," and he says, "Hi, I'm going to be playing this weekend. I don't have any flyers on me, but you can get one in the men's room." We just so happen to be in front of the restrooms. So he pushed open the door to the men's room. I caught a glimpse of the inside and saw several flyers posted. But then I said, "Actually, no, it's okay. Aren't they in the women's room as well?" And he paused thoughtfully for a second and replied, "Yeah, they are. Okay, see you later." And he continued on into the men's room. So I entered the men's room, the women's room right next to the men's room, and there was only one flyer taped onto the mirror because apparently other women had removed the flyers already. And even though I saw the flyer briefly when my friend showed it to me in the hallway, I realized how unimpressive it was. It was just a basic letter-sized piece of paper listing the time and location of the event.
Mm-hmm.
Then I discovered that deep into the women's restroom was a large patio of tables, kind of like an upscale, stylish, modern restaurant. It was a resource for women to gather to discuss, I'm not sure what, I think to network, learn, advance their lives. I wasn't clear, but I was impressed by it. But then I suddenly felt like I was sitting in a classroom, which I believe is part of this women's network. I walk in and I sit down like I'm a pupil in a classroom. I felt like this was a place I attended regularly. Although it makes no sense, like, even though I just discovered this place, I felt like I attended this place, like, this was not my first time here.
Yeah.
So I sat right next to a female coworker from that website that I mentioned earlier. And we kind of small-talked, and I felt like telling her about the gossip I heard from my roommate, but I didn't want to be unprofessional. But after a couple of small-talk exchanges, she finally asked, "So did you talk about our manager?" I was so relieved that she broached the subject and not me, and I basically repeated to her what my roommate and I talked about, and we laughed and gossiped together. I returned home to the loft and sifted through the clothing rack again. My girlfriends were with me as well, and I discovered some women's clothes and was excited about that. Most notably, there was a long, hot pink satin bejeweled gown. I didn't really wish to buy it, but I was glad that there were some women's items around. So,
yeah, excellent. Yeah. So I had a really, really good ending. Would you wear a long, pink, bejeweled gown?
Perhaps in a very, like, special occasion, like the Golden Globes or something, but not normally.
No. So it was kind of like the ultimate feminine, ultra-feminine kind of article of clothing, really.
Yeah, I would think so. And kind of, it was kind of loud, too.
Yeah, which is not you.
I can be.
Okay. okay, what we've got there, that's really lovely, Eve, is, you know, obviously that it's touching on the fact that you've left the old your old job and you're probably looking for something new now. And so it's looking at all the issues that came up from that and relating them to the past and the future, so that at one stage when you go back and you take the two women back to your bedroom of the 80s or the 90s with the Nintendo game, that's some part of yourself, and we're going to in depth in a minute, that what needs to go back to the past, to that time, to look at why you had the issues with the job, why you've left, and what you're looking for, and what may be standing in your way. So that's an important time marker, or even a tempo marker, maybe, that we're going to go back to there. And then, of course, at the end of the dream, when you meet the new women, and you kind of almost get off your chest the feelings about the manager, that's what then, and we're going to it in great depth, but that's what then produces the female clothes on the rack, and kind of like we're all going forward in the dream from there. So out of the whole dream, there's a sense of we go back to sort something out, and then we come forward to get past that block, and I'll show you what that is. And once you're past that block, everything opens up for you. So that's kind of like the outline of the dream. Now, all the there's quite a few men and there's quite a few women in your dream, Eve, and they basically represent the male side of you, even though some of them look like, you know, people that you know, and the women represent the female side of you. Now, the female side of you really means your right brain. So it's your really creative side. It's your spiritual side. It's your intuitive side. It's everything about your inner world. It's about who you really are deep down inside. That's the women in the dream. And the men in the dream are, they represent more your left brain. That's more your logical self, maybe your competitive self, all about the world out there, particularly the world of work, how you interact in the world, how the world sees you and how you see the world rather than, your inner world. So that's what the men and the women in your dream represent. Okay. And so even when we come down to there's the men's restrooms and the women's restrooms, you notice there was a difference between them, between the two. You know, the women's restrooms only had one flyer, and it was when you were in there that you realized what a boring flyer it was. And the women's restrooms really opened up at the back into something quite interesting. And we're going to come to that. So if you sort of just stand back and look at the whole dream like that, you can say, yeah, well, the dream always relates to the day or two before, and you had this dream last night. So this dream relates to the last couple of days when you're really beginning to say, well, there is a difference between how I see myself in the world and how I'm approaching my world in kind of logical, competitive, kind of male way. There's a difference between that and my more female, creative inner world, which is actually shifting and changing at the moment. And the clues in the dream for your change and your blocks are in that female side of the world. And we're going to look at that. So does that make sense so far?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I love all the names for your DJ. So it's Tiempo, which suggests that there's maybe, you know, we're looking at time scales here, the past and the future maybe. There's Tempo, which is, of course, keeping the rhythm, which is a really good name for a DJ. And rhythm and music, that tends to be more a right brain, a female side of you too. So, you know, you can say this dream is maybe looking at where you want to be in harmony with yourself and the world, and where, of course, recently, as you've just described, you have not been in harmony. You know, you left the old job because you weren't in harmony with the old manager. So in a sense, in looking for a new harmony, a new DJ Tempo in your life, you're looking to see how you can move forward in your life in a more harmonious, creative way, given that there are some blocks inside from the female side, which we're going to go into. So it's almost like the old job, you probably did it extremely well. You're probably a great organizer, can really do all that kind of business side of things. But it fell down on lack of harmony for you. And that's where, and even lack of creativity, because the flyer for the DJ, you notice, well, hey, that's boring. And it's particularly boring when you look at it from a creative perspective, you know, in the female bathroom. So this is something that you really want to put more of that. You are ready to put more creative stuff into your life at the moment. So, you know, that's there. Now, at the moment, I just like to, and I don't know why he was called DJ Olive. Well, what does olive mean to you? Is it a color, a fruit? What's the first thoughts on the word olive?
Actually, it's kind of interesting. A couple years ago, I started to learn about spirit guides and all that kind of stuff. And I had a spirit guide come through named Olivia.
Ah.
So I feel as though that could be part of it.
Yeah, well, olive sounds almost like a more masculine version of Olivia, doesn't it?
Right.
So Olivia for you is a spirit guide that you felt came through a couple of years ago. When you had that experience, if you could put a personality on that Olivia, what would you say that personality was for you? And Olivia, the spirit guide, had a personality that was... What was it?
Very, very sweet, and but had a sense of humor. I mean, basically, I think a better version of me. Okay. I think
a better version of me. And 2 years ago, when you did that work and you came into contact with that feeling of Olivia, were you in search of a better version of me then?
Yes, and just to clarify, I left that website job about 3 years ago.
All right, before.
And I have since been in another job, which has been great.
Okay.
But it hasn't been really much of a passion for me.
Okay.
It's been an improvement since the other job.
Okay, so it's kind of been like an olive, but not an Olivia yet.
Yeah.
Okay. So thank you for that. So when you left the job 3 years ago, you had made some improvements by 2 years ago when you had the Olivia feeling. Olivia feeling came into your life because you'd made some improvements, but you really wanted more. You wanted more of the real Eve to come out. And because it was a spiritual feeling, that's also wanting more of your spiritual self to come out, the real you. And as you've said there, you've done some of that work, but it still hasn't come the whole way. So when your dream went back last night, to, it actually went back twice. It went back to the Nintendo games times of the 80s and 90s. And of course, it also went back to reference you leaving that website job 3 years ago, because I hadn't realized it was that far away when you intro'd. So your dream, whatever's happening in your life now, needed to go back to when you walked out of the website job and the Nintendo times.
Okay. Yeah.
So we have our DJ at tempo. Let's look at timing, tempo. We're ready for more harmony in our lives. And Olive, maybe we're on the way to being Olivia. We kind of got the male version at the moment. We've got DJ Olive rather than the female Olivia, but hey, we're getting there. Okay. So I think that's, I think that's where he's in there. They're from too. Bring on the music. The flyer, how you market, how you advertise, how you're probably because everything in the dream represents something about you, even though the flyer seemed to be about the DJ and the party that he was putting on or his music, it's really, that's the flyer. That's how you, that's your image in the world, how you're putting yourself out there. So you're thinking, yeah, I'm pretty pleased with how I'm putting myself out there in the world, but it's still kind of like a bit male working orientated Olive rather than more spiritual, creative female Olivia at the moment. And hey, that flyer's a little bit too boring. I really would like to inject a little bit more. And you said you haven't quite found the full-on passion yet too. So that's that. If you can imagine, the flyer isn't quite passionate enough in your dreams yet. And that's one clue. We need to put some passion into the image and how you're marketing yourself or seeing yourself out there. Now, what's lovely is that these two females that you meet in the female restroom, they're an unknown female part of yourself. And I love the way that it's the restroom, because is that really like having some time out and a rest? Or is this really right deep into the feminine part of yourself? And of course, also in the restroom, we go to the restroom to let go of a lot of stuff, you know? And that's, I feel a place in this dream for letting go of a lot of stuff. And that's what you do in that networking meeting, even though you weren't comfortable there. Eventually they said, oh, go on, give us the gossip. And you went, okay, all right then, just between us.
Yeah.
And there was a sense of letting go, wasn't there, in the dream there?
Yeah. And connection too, like bonding. I mean, I think it's safe to say I don't really gossip much, but in this dream, like, it felt so good to gossip.
Yeah, I can tell that.
Connect. Yeah.
And that's where I was going in that direction, and you've just affirmed it, which is really lovely, because I think that is the key thing here. It's wonderful that you don't like to gossip, because gossip is not a good thing. It's fun to listen to, but it's not a good thing to do for all the reasons that we all know. But sometimes there's a need to get something off your chest, or a need for somebody to express to somebody and communicate with someone, about where you're at and where you're going to. And if we're well brought up, people, we can sometimes think, oh, what's the difference between gossiping and saying how I feel to a third party, to someone that can actually help me to get some objectivity and understand where I'm going to? Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the key things that your dream is highlighting here, particularly because you're obviously very strong in your male side, which is a good thing. We should all be equal in our male and female sides. And I feel you've got that good, strong, male side handled. You know, you can work professionally. You can do it really well. You know how to handle the world out there, or at least it looks like to others that you do. And that's all that needs to happen. And because of all that, you probably have very strong ethics, both within yourself and with respect to the world out there. But there's still a need that you're probably holding too much in, particularly about understanding what went wrong in that in the website job that you had, why you found it so difficult in relationship with the manager, why she seemed so mean and vitriolic. I know you didn't say vitriolic. I just can't remember the other word at the moment. And all of these things. And this has actually colored how you have continued in your life, and you just need to get it off your chest, but you don't want to gossip. So that was why you felt, Eve, a little bit uncomfortable when you saw the kind of networking opportunity. It was like, I could do with this, but I don't. But by the same token, I'm not really comfortable with this, because I know where this sort of thing can lead, and it's like gossip, and I don't really want to speak evil of anyone, Eve. And I don't want to go there. But at that time, the dream, you also had the feeling, I've been here before. And so where I'm getting, where you've been here before from the dream, is that was the situation you were probably in towards the end of your job with the website job. That feeling of, look, communicating is good, networking is good, sharing is good, but something went wrong with this before and I didn't feel comfortable about it. And maybe it was kind of in the gossip kind of area, or I was made to feel like I was gossiping, whereas that wasn't really my agenda. But more importantly, even further back than there, because everything goes back further, is the Nintendo years.
Yeah.
Give me a few little clues about the Nintendo years and gossip and sharing.
So it's interesting. Because I was thinking about this dream all day, and I would say 10 minutes ago, it suddenly occurred to me, wow, like in my parents' house in the guest bedroom, we really did have a Nintendo setup.
Yeah.
And that was back when I was 12 or 13. And I did spend some time playing Nintendo in there. So I guess it's something to do with my age around then.
Yes, definitely. So what are you able to say about when you were 12 or 13 and sharing with other females and gossiping, feeling close or not feeling close? Does anything come up around that for age 12 or 13?
Oh, wow. Yeah, actually, when I was, I was either 12 or 13. It was kind of one of those mean girls situations where all of a sudden, one day at lunch, one of my, I was in a group of, five main girls, and one girl decided to tell me that they were all laughing about me the whole time, and that they didn't want to be my friend, and how I couldn't see it, and how it was ridiculous. I thought that they were my friends.
Yeah.
And it was really painful for me.
Yeah, I bet. And it's interesting, Eve, that you described one of the girls in particular there as being mean, and that was the first word that you described about the manager in the old website job.
Yeah, because the manager wasn't actually mean. She was maybe not the smartest, but she wasn't mean. So it's just kind of weird that I would describe her as mean in the dream.
So in a sense, what that probably means is that, you were very, you went through all that pain when you were 12 or 13, and there was something about the manager in the website job that in the dream you made the connection between her and the mean girl, because in the dream you said she was mean, even though that wasn't how you would describe her awake. So the dream was going, think about it, Eve, for whatever reason, rational or not, you've looked at this website manager woman and something related in your mind to the mean girl when you were 12 or 13.
Hmm.
Have you any idea what that might have been? Why you might have seen a connection between the two?
I don't know.
Oh. It might come up a little bit later, so have a little think about that after the recording,
yeah.
But there's a connection there. But in any case, and the Nintendo was a clue. I mean, sometimes dreams bring in play on words too, and maybe Nintendo is something I didn't intend to do, like no Nintendo, tiempo, let's speak Spanish, Nintendo.
Well, I suddenly thought maybe both of them had some sort of power over me.
Mm. Both the women.
Because as a manager, she has power over me, and this friend from my childhood days, she didn't necessarily have power over me, but she had power enough that I became ostracized from a certain group of friends and I had to find another group.
Yeah.
So she had power within that group.
Yeah. So that would make sense why in the dream, in the networking area, in the bathroom, you were unsure, like, here is a group and there's something about this group. There's something about networking and sharing that I will need to do to move forward in a more passionate way and to show more of my female side. But I'm not so sure about this because there's something in this that reminds me of females having power over me. Hmm. In the dream, just before we go further, Eve, in the dream, you overcame that because you actually let it out, you shared it, and the pink bejeweled dress was hanging on the thing at the end. So, well, you actually did work all this out in your dream, but I'm just going through it with you so that we can amplify it to get an even better result, okay?
Okay. Yeah.
So, I guess, and you're probably already thinking this because, you know, you're a very wise person, but when we say that, and particularly as a 12 or 13-year-old, when we say, oh, look, somebody had power over me, really a person only has power over me when we allow them to have power over us. So, you know, if you look at that the other way around, which is one of the benefits of doing dream interpretation work, you can say rather than seeing someone else as more powerful than me, I look at why did I not feel powerful enough to be equal to this other person? Why did I feel overpowered to some extent? And why, you know, because that caused pain. It wasn't a good thing to do. It wasn't a good thing to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And so to carry that through then and say where perhaps towards the end of the website job where you obviously made an empowered decision to leave, so that was good, you know, maybe power or lack of power or feeling that other people have power over you or feeling underpowered yourself has been an issue that you've been grappling with over time and particularly came to a bit of a head when you had that dream last night, you know, in the last couple of days. See, I mean, one thing that's springing to mind to me is that, and I'm sure that, you know, most women listening in will be able to relate to this, including you and me, is that, you know, as females, we're often brought up with, you know, and our parents really do not mean, and society really does not mean to do this to us, but, you know, it brings us up with a bit of feeling that we've got to have an awful lot of power to do well. And if we do, we might be put down for being too powerful. You know, females should perhaps be a little bit meeker and milder than that, you know. And so sometimes we can be frightened of our own power when really all we're doing is showing our passion.
Yeah.
And particularly because you want to show more of yourself, to bring more of the Olivia out and to find even more passion in your life, there might be another part of your voice that says, oh, yeah, but what if I'm going around in the world being so passionate that people see me as powerful? I don't want to be seen like that mean girl when I was 12 or 13.
Mm-hmm.
Can you relate to this so far?
Yeah, and I think it might be helpful to add also that I am applying to graduate school, and I'm kind of scared about it.
Yeah. What do you?
Because I do have a pretty decent job now, but it's not my passion. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm wrestling with the whole following my passion and keeping the paycheck.
Yeah. Keeping the male side, the paycheck, and the female side, the passion. Because the
right.
paycheck being how you relate to the world out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are all really important things to consider. And of course, you know, to flow with your passion, will usually bring in the paycheck as well. But of course, if you're applying to graduate school, I guess you've got to spend some money and spend a few tiempo years before you come out the other end and get the money as well. Yeah, the I know I'm jumping about a bit here, but it's so that we can get somewhere with the whole thing. The male racked, I love, you know, you kept saying, oh, the irony of it is now that I'm free from this job, in the dream, you're saying now that I'm free from this job and I can actually, you know, I'm free to look at the clothes or be actually free to be out of the office. What have I got but all men's clothes here, you know? And there was a sense when you were telling the dream before I'd sort of, you know, worked out a lot of the interpretation with you at that stage where I was thinking, oh, that's interesting. When you were at the job, you were, you know, having to turn up wherever it was you turned up to do the website, you were working within the constraints of that business. And once you left, you were freer to develop whichever areas of your mind you want to, including you know, creative things you'd learned on the job. And I know I don't want to open up the whole issue of intellectual property and all that kind of stuff, which, you know, is always a bit of an issue too. But you had stuff that you felt I can come into my own space. That's your own rooms in the dream. And I can create more passionately now. And yet, you know, suddenly I have all the freedom and the dream you say, but the irony is it's not what I want. It hasn't got the female side here. And then in the dream, you then go from there and you discover that the missing link, what you really need to get the pink dress, because the pink dress is a good start on that thing, is that you do need to overcome your fear of sharing in a female kind of environment where you might feel that you're at risk of being overpowered by other people, like the mean 12-year-old girl. And you've got to overcome that and also overcome the feeling that it's okay to share feelings, which is different from gossip, if it's necessary to clear something within yourself so that you can move on. And it was that clearance, that letting go, that sharing that you were excited about in the dream once you overcame the reticence, that began to get the ultimate glamour of the female side happening there. So when you sit and think now about applying to graduate school and well, beyond that, being accepted at graduate school and going along and have you chosen a subject that, you don't need to tell me what it is, but have you chosen a subject that will really flow with your kind of feminine passion?
Yes, actually, basically, I kind of want to be you. I am very into dreams because before I worked at that website, the clothing website, I was a wardrobe stylist for television and editorial print, fashion styling. Yeah. And I worked on a dream show, and it was a very short-lived show, unfortunately, but basically it was a dream interpretation show, and I learned so much about dreams, just like lint rolling guests and stuff on that show. I just realized, oh my gosh, this dream interpretation thing is incredible. But then I just kind of pushed it aside and I didn't know how to go about it. But I was just thinking, okay, I'm going to go on and do this wardrobe thing. And well, obviously I strayed from that because I'm sorry, maybe it's not so obvious because I didn't tell you.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, so I furthered on into the website world, and now I work on a website for a healthcare company, which is so far from where I started from. I worked in fashion and creative stuff, you know? Yeah. So, gosh, where am I?
Well, to help you out, what you really said there and expressed really beautifully was that you started in a kind of almost a female glamour world there with the clothes and the wardrobe and the styling, and you got in touch with your passion, at least at a distance, at least at a feeling, I can connect with this, I could do this. And then for some reason, even though you knew that, you took this almighty sweep into something which you're probably very good at, but is more male orientated because you actually moved away from something you were passionate about. And now you're moving towards it again as you're contemplating what to do at graduate school and getting more in touch with that. And in a sense that, I mean, obviously all kinds of wardrobe is used on a TV show, but in a sense, the pink bejeweled gown is kind of like, maybe in a lot of people's minds, a good symbol of, well, that should be in a TV wardrobe, shouldn't it? Like it's drama, you know, it's reconnecting somehow with that again. So I'm curious as to why, I'm not curious as to why you're interested in becoming a dream interpreter, because, you know, I'm in it for the passion. I love it. I absolutely can't imagine doing anything else. But I'm curious to know as to why you had that idea when you were a wardrobe stylist and then you didn't do anything about it. Was that a fear of, you know, how do we link that back to the dream where there was a fear of the mean girl when you were 12 or 13, you know, people overpowering you, or fear of gossip, or how, what strikes you at the moment about why you might have walked away from that passion because of fears of people overpowering you in some sense?
Well, it has a lot to do, I think, with my family's acceptance, because I graduated from a good college and I had good jobs coming out of college. And it was a huge leap of faith for me to jump into wardrobe styling, which was something completely non-academic.
Yeah.
And my family supported me in that, which I am so grateful for. And I was just so afraid to like admit that, okay, maybe wardrobe isn't the best thing for me, because I actually found it rather boring. It was glamorous at times. It's just a lot of carrying a bunch of physical, I mean, it's a lot of physical labor.
Yeah. And ironing.
I wanted to be more intellectual somehow. I thought it'd be more creative, and it just disappointed me. Mm. So I didn't want to look too fickle, I guess. Mm. That I'm just bouncing around.
You're getting it spot on. You thought, well, if I go into dream, that's going to be seen as more fickle, to use your word, more, it'll be passionate, but not intellectual enough, not intelligent enough. And what you're now trying to do is marry the two so that you've got, the interesting, the feminine, the spiritual, the passionate, the creative, the breaking new bounds, which a lot of dream work is, all that feminine stuff, but you also want the equal balance of the intellectual side and the male side. You know, this is a time to bring them together. And this may be, that may be why you might be thinking, well, but what if I'm too powerful? I mean, that is a very powerful combination. You know, a powerful female is always a powerful combination. a female working in her passion and also very intelligent, and working, you know, intellectually is, you're walking into the fear of power there. So my feeling is that at 12 to 13, you had that underpowered feeling, like people can easily sway power over me and make me feel, a lot of pain. And now you're frightened that you don't, in stepping into what would be your own full and beautiful and wonderful power, you don't want to, some deep down unconscious part of yourself doesn't want to end up like that mean girl, because sometimes powerful people can be mean, says the 12-year-old Eve. Mm. Does that make sense?
Perhaps. I'm not sure. When that happened when I was 12 or 13, I was very blindsided. I had no clue that about the power structure.
Yeah.
It didn't occur to me that this one girl had such power. It didn't occur to me that I was the laughing stock, apparently.
It goes deep, you see. You know, we don't understand at the time, but you felt pain, which is an emotion. It's not an intellectual understanding. It was an emotion. And as children, you know, it's the emotions and the pain that we feel. And it goes very deep. And although you don't understand it at the time, you would then tend to go through life avoiding other situations where you might feel pain, even though you don't understand why. So you might then avoid any situation where you might think, oh, I'm going to be the laughing stock here, because you just said laughing stock. You know, I'm going to avoid that situation. So there may also be the feeling of, if I step away from the job that I've got now, the job that you've got now, the intelligent, you know, well-paid, well-respected job, and go to college and maybe do something like dream work, am I going to be the laughing stock?
Yeah. Because I feel like on paper, it's not the logical thing for me to leave my current job, because I just got a 35% pay increase. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens, which is actually exactly double what I was getting paid at that previous job, that website job that I mentioned. Yeah. So it's like, okay, this is so very safe, but it's, I don't have my heart 100% in it.
Yeah. So it comes.
And it's still painful.
Yeah. And that's painful. It comes down to, you know, it, with a dream interpretation, what a dream helps you to do is it helps you to understand where you're at now, what role the past has played in where you're at now, and therefore you can project ahead and go, well, if I don't change anything, my life is likely to turn out this way, or I can see two options ahead here, you know, one where I keep the job that I've got at double the pay that I had back then and be really, you know, feel really good about all the positive aspects of this job, and by the way, did I mention the paycheck, and yet feel that it's not quite, my passion isn't in it. That's one choice I can make. Or you feel the other choice is to go more for your passion, but you're sorely going to miss the money and maybe miss the intellectual aspects of it and respect from other people, and maybe you feel I might risk being the laughing stock. And my family have already supported me once in doing wardrobe, and I don't know if they're going to support me through this other one. So that you're looking ahead at your life now and seeing those as the two options, whereas, of course, for me and perhaps many other people listening, there's another option. But at the time of your dream, it was like, these are the two things, you know? Of course, you know, and practically speaking, you know, is there a way, and this isn't really part of the interpretation, this is just for you to consider, is there a way of doing the graduate course and, you know, working the job part-time or keeping in, you know, or doing the graduate course part-time, you know, keeping your hands in both areas? We don't know. That's something for you to explore. But I think the key thing, Eve, is to say, there's two big things in your dream. One is that you face the fear at the end of getting into that sharing situation, that networking. It was a like, oh, no, I've been here before, I'm not so sure about this. But, God, what a relief when you did. It was so good to process all that stuff and your feelings about, you know, empowerment and meanness or whatever. And you got it off your chest. And that enabled the passionate side, pink spangled, bejeweled thing to reappear in your home court, so to speak. So that is a good thing. So to take from that, I'm now ready, because I've done it in my dream, I'm now ready to share more without, not gossip, but share more without a fear that it's gossiping, share more without a fear of being laughing stock, share more in order to be able to let things go. And in a sense, you've done some of that in your dream. And I think the other one is just to be very aware that you have perhaps, you know, gone through the last few years, or maybe even since the age of 12 or 13, with some of your decisions and some of your outcomes in life limited by pain, by I don't want to be the laughing stock. So you may have made decisions because deep down in your unconscious mind, the 12-year-old was going, but we don't want to be the laughing stock because that's going to hurt. So better not do that, better not go there. And just knowing that may have limited some of your choices, even though you're in a really good place now, that knowledge is precious because it then won't be in the way of you making future decisions. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So if we were to go from, I mean, you are going to be fortunate because you're going to be able to listen to this podcast over and over again and get all the details of it. But if we, to tie it up now, because we've actually been going for quite a while, and I'm sure we've got lots of listeners still listening in because it's really interesting. but we'd like to always follow a dream interpretation with a dream alchemy practice, which, of course, is something that really consolidates and moves you forward. So normally in a dream alchemy practice, we would look to reverse something that's been not working well for you. So, you know, normally we would go and say, well, I would set you a dream alchemy practice like envisage going back to that bedroom when you were 12 or 13. And you can still do this if you like, Eve. Envisage going back to that bedroom when you were 12 or 13 and just replaying the scenario, you know, saying to the girl that was mean to you, look, you know, We were all kids then, and I'm sure you're not like that as an adult. I'm sure you're a really beautiful person. But you know what you said back then really upset me when I was 12, and it kind of has limited me a bit in the decisions that I've made throughout my life. So let's have a bit of a hug, because we're both grown up now and we know it was unimportant. It's just that I took it so seriously at the time. Let's have a big bit of a hug, and I'm kind of going to give you back that belief you gave me that I was a laughing stock, because between the two of us, We know that's not true, and I don't want that anymore. That's a process called giving back the belief. And you can do that, although I do have a feeling that you've already done that in your dream because the outcome of the dream is so good. The other visualization I would suggest to you, you said, oh, I'm not really the kind of person to wear the pink bejeweled thing unless it was to the Oscars or whatever. But imagine, you know, put on your best wardrobe, stylist hat, and say, well, As well as that pink bejeweled gown, what I would really like to see hanging beside that is, and create a really beautiful outfit in your mind's eye for yourself that goes a step beyond what you might wear today, that actually portrays you in your working in your passion, whether it's as a dream analyst or in some areas of helping people or whatever it is, where you feel, if I wore that, that would really encapsulate for me being powerfully and passionately doing what I want. And then visualize yourself actually wearing that, you know, over and over again, visualize yourself wherever you are actually wear it in your mind's eye and absorb the feeling of the passion that you're emanating, absorb the feeling of the power, not power over other people, but power to be who you are and to be not the laughing stock, to be feel really good about that as you wear this imaginary outfit. And you can even then go and buy like a little fabric, a little swatch of fabric or something, and make something small from it that you can actually wear just to give, put you in touch with that feeling. Does that make sense?
Yes, and it's put a smile on my face.
Oh, look, everybody, here's Eve smiling. Can you see? Oh, we can hear. thank you so much, Eve, for sharing that. And over the next few weeks, as you start to do the alchemy and as you start to get results and maybe other insights, if you'd like to email me, either just for me personally and confidentially, or anything that you'd like me to share with other people in a future podcast show or on the website so that they can see what happened next, that would be fantastic.
I'd love that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You know, one of the things I love after I've had a guest on the show is that after we've stopped recording, we actually usually stay on and have a little chat off air afterwards. And it's always amazing how many guests say straight afterwards, oh, look, you know, I really enjoyed that. I was a bit wobbly. I was a bit nervous. But the bottom line is I really enjoyed that. I had fun. And I'd like to come on the show again, or I'd like, you know, to recommend to other people to come on the show. So if you're thinking at all about, oh, I'd like to be a guest on the show, I'm a bit nervous about it, don't be nervous. Get in contact with me through one of the many avenues that you already know, and have a think about coming on the show. It's very simple. We just arrange a time that works between your time zone and mine, and between, you know, your work and mine. We find a time, and I either Skype you or phone you. So all you have to do is be there, pick up the phone or pick up your Skype, and we have a little chat before we start recording, just to make sure that you're feeling comfortable, and then we just record, and that's all there is to it. So if you're having a think about it, or if you've got friends that you think might enjoy coming on the show and being a guest, please contact me and we'll set it up and arrange it. Clearly, if you've been listening this long into probably what is our longest podcast so far, then you're very, very interested in dreams and dream interpretation. So, you know, thank you for listening and thank you for your interest and support. And please do spread the word. Let other people that you know may be interested in dreams. How do we sometimes know which of our friends are interested in dreams? But put the word out. Share the love. Because, as you know, from listening, you can be deeply inspired by what other people do with their dreams and from what they learn about themselves through them. Lots of information, lots of free information, of course, loads of articles, lots of interesting stuff on all the websites, www.dream.net.au, or my blog, janetereza.com, and more interactive activity on my Facebook page. So see you on one of these, and if not, and in any case, till the next show next Friday, I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to the Dream Show at lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsite Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.